Let's take our Bibles tonight. Open up with me to Matthew chapter 5. We have been in a little mini section of the book of Proverbs called Surety, Sluggards, Scoundrels, and Strumpets. And tonight we are ready to finish out that little section. But before we can get to Proverbs, we're going to be starting in Matthew chapter 5 and taking a look at a couple of verses. Tonight's message, when we looked at this four-part message, it was surety, sluggards, scoundrels, and strumpets. Surety, we saw that the Lord gives strong indications throughout His Word, admonitions to the child of God. Don't become surety for somebody else. Don't co-sign for somebody else. If you do that, you are setting yourself up for a situation. Number one, when God says don't do it, it's wrong to do it, even if you think, well, I can justify why I'm doing it. Don't do it. Because if that individual defaults on the loan, guess who gets to pay for it? That would be you. And so the Lord tells us not to be part of surety. Then the section on sluggards. We saw what God says about those who are lazy and His viewpoint on people that will not work. And then on scoundrels, we looked at the seven things that God hates, seven things that are an abomination to Him. The final section is on the strumpets. When I first introduced this, I asked, how many of you know what the word meant? Because I had no idea. And about two of you raised your hand. How many of you know now? Curiosity sent you home and you looked it up, didn't you? Well, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. For those of you that don't know what the word means, it is a 15th century word that means a prostitute. And that's what that next section of Proverbs is talking about. Now, maybe tonight you're already uncomfortable and you're wondering, why in the world would he be talking about such a delicate subject like this? That's not something to preach on. Is it in the Bible? Then I would say that's something that should be preached on. If we are preaching through verse by verse through Proverbs, that is the next thing that the Lord talks about. My reason for talking about this tonight is because this is all around us, and it's around us in ways that we probably don't even recognize, we don't even think about. I want to set this up for you tonight. I'm going to kind of peel back some layers like an onion on this, because we are around it and we don't even realize it. When we think prostitution, we think of places like Las Vegas, Los Angeles, some sort of a big city somewhere where these women streetwalkers have their section of town and they try to get their Johns to pay for a night of pleasure with them. Sitting here in little conservative Bryan, Ohio, that's something that we squirm uncomfortably in our seats because that's not here in Bryan. And why would we even talk about something like that? Well, look in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. The Lord says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whoso looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Flee fornication. That's pretty plain and simple and straightforward. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Is lust an issue in the United States? Is lust an issue in Bryan, Ohio? Is lust an issue for lost people? Is lust an issue for saved people? Yes, to everything there. So while we may feel that we are free from having ever given ourselves to a prostitute, I wonder if that's really the case based on these verses. How many are guilty of having gone through the grocery store and they have paid for magazines that are full of softcore pornography, Cosmopolitan and some of those other types of magazines? Some of you, I know this, and by the way, I'm just going to let you know right up front tonight, this is going to probably make somebody mad tonight. But you know what? Truth usually has that effect. We don't like it when we hear stuff like that. But you know what? Cosmo, stuff like that, all that is softcore pornography. And it is put out there and it's as bold and brazen as it can possibly be. But yet people will pay for it. How many individuals will pay a cable or a satellite bill to watch movies that will have nudity in them and won't think anything of it? Or they will pay the money to go to a theater for the exact same kinds of shows. You see, the simple truth of the matter is that immodesty, immorality, partial nudity, it is all around us. It is around us all the time. Yes, we have a major issue in our country, and this is an issue that is also in Bryan, Ohio. Don't believe me? Let it come time for prom and all these kids that will trot off to prom, which is another issue in and of itself. But then when you have the pictures that show up in the Bryan Times, how many of us would want our girls dressed like some of those girls are dressed and to have some guy pawing all over her bare back while he's got his head nuzzled in her neck? And let me tell you something, he's not sniffing her perfume. You know exactly where that dog's eyes are at. And those pictures will be in the Bryan Times heralding what great events are hosted in the schools all across our county. Folks, don't tell me this isn't around here. The issue of lust is all around us. Satan knows that, and he uses it, and he uses it. Proverbs is going to address this. And you say, well, that's not prostitution. Okay, it may not be prostitution, but let me tell you something. The principles are still in there. They're still in there all the way across the board. Tonight, let's go to Proverbs chapter 7, and let's just notice how this all develops this evening. Proverbs chapter 7, and let's talk first of all about the target. Who is the target? Proverbs chapter 7, verses 6 through 9. It says here, "For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and behold, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night." Here's the target. The target, first of all, is a young man. And let's just face it, guys, this is definitely a struggle for guys. We have been wired visually. We are that type of an individual. That's what works for us. And so this young man is being addressed. It's not that women don't have an issue with lust. By the way, ladies, don't think for a second that this is just beat up on the guy night, okay? This is beat up on the lady too, because all of us need this, because every one of us deals with lust. But this here is addressing a young man. The Bible says that he is simple. The word simple means that he is naive, he is foolish, and he is open-minded. This is the guy who arrogantly says, "Oh man, I'll try anything. Got to keep an open mind about stuff. I'm young. I'm invincible. I can't get hurt. Nothing's going to happen to me." You know those famous last words, and you know nothing good is going to follow after this when somebody says, "Hey, watch this." Nothing good follows after that. It's just downhill from there. And this young man is a simple individual like that. He is void of understanding. The word means that he doesn't have discipline, control, or restraint. The Bible says that he went the way of her house. In other words, he purposefully put himself in a place where he could dance with temptation. Look back in Proverbs chapter 6. He obviously didn't believe this verse. And we are going to be bouncing between chapter 6 and chapter 7 because this last section entails all of those sections. Verses 27 and 28. "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned?" Don't you know people like that? "Oh, it'll never happen to me." 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 gives a warning to the person that thinks he stands to beware, because it's sure going to happen lest he fall. How many people think that they stand and that no temptation, "Oh, I'm strong enough, I can resist this, it's not going to happen to me"? That is the person that it is. You might as well set your stopwatch. It's going to happen. If you try to warn them, they just say, "Hey, you're living in fear." They will accuse you of being the person that's living in fear. You're living in the past. You're worrying about something that doesn't need to be worried about. The next description, though, of this target found in Proverbs 7, verses 6 through 9, is that this happened in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and the dark of night. I know that this is old school thinking, but why do the teenagers think that they have to be out so late? I think for most of them, it's just the thrill of thinking, "Oh, getting to do something we never got to do before." But you know what? The old saying, nothing good happens after midnight. That is very true. That's not an old way of thinking. Let's take a look at a scripture that can back this up. Go to John chapter 3. Loving and caring parents are going to put a curfew on their kids, and I guarantee you, the curfew is not going to be as late as the kid would like. The kid wants to have a curfew that lets them be out. Oh, all my friends are out. Oh, all they're out doing this and they're doing that. Well, I can't do that. Why can't I do that? Wah, 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 wah. And parents that care about their kids are saying, I want you in at a particular time. Well, that's not fair. Don't you love that phrase, parent?
That's not fair.
Life's not fair. Suck it up, buttercup. It's the way it works. Look with me in John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. There's crazy people that are out there. And it's like they wait for the lights to go down before they start coming out from under the woodwork. Haven't you ever been out late someplace and you wonder, where are these people coming from? I'm not endorsing it, so I shouldn't say go to the Jubilee, but go to the Jubilee sometime. Don't you scratch your head and wonder where those people came from? You don't see them in the daylight. It's like, where's the dark cave that they slunk out of when the lights went low? This is the kind of world that the Lord says. The evil love the darkness because it covers their deeds. When you talk to the bars, what time are the bars going to be letting out? Who knows? I mean, but you're talking later at night. So you're saying, I want my kid in before the drunks leave. I do not understand for the life of me why the police just do not sit all around bars. They could just tag one person after another. Oh, wait a minute. That would shut the bar's business down, right? So then that would probably affect tax dollars. There's all sorts of reasons. I tell you, you could park in front of a bar and you could just do one breathalyzer test after another, and I will guarantee you, you would be hauling a lot of DUIs off every single night. So why do we not want our kids out? Because of who is out. What good is going to happen in the dark? What good happened to this fellow back here in Proverbs? When he goes out, why did he go out in the dark of the night? Because he's trying to hide something. He's trying to get away with something. He's trying to be sneaky. He's the target. Let's notice the trap. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 10. Behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. For this day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the goodman is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. She has set the trap. I want you to think about what the appeal here is to this woman. There's absolutely nothing in the passage that describes her as being beautiful or attractive or of having a great personality. There are no positive qualities about this woman. What was it that she used to draw this guy in? First thing is, she dressed like a harlot. She dressed like a harlot. Allow me to pound the pulpit on something here for just a minute. If you don't want someone to think about you or look at you in a particular way, don't dress the part. Don't dress the part. You know, you got girls that'll put makeup on like a rodeo clown. And they will wear their outfits as low cut and as high up as they possibly can get them. Why in the world is that okay? What did the harlot do? She is dressing in a physically provocative way. A girl comes out of the house half-dressed. the guy finishes undressing her with his eyes, and the girl says, "You're a pervert. You're a pig." She's right. But he also has the right to call her a harlot, a hooch, a loosey-goosey floozy, or whatever the terminology is. Fair's fair. Right? Oh, now wait a minute. That's not fair, preacher. He shouldn't be doing that. Why'd she come out looking like a tramp? I know, that's an old way of thinking, isn't it? But ladies, girls, you have your purity. And you've got something that you have to guard. You've got something that you have got to guard. You have to guard for the guy's eyes, for his mind. That is something you have to do. It is your responsibility. Yes, the guy has a responsibility not to be a pig and a pervert. Okay? That is his responsibility. But if you are going to purposely and intentionally flaunt yourself around him, then there are two individuals that are culpable for this. She dressed like a harlot. The next thing that she did is she met him with an impudent face. Say, what in the world's that? The word impudent means strong and prevailing. Ladies, and again, ladies, I'm not picking on ladies. This is just the character here, okay? Ladies, I don't know how you do it, but your face has great power over a guy. Amen, guys? You've got looks. And I'm saying you got good looks like you're good looking. You've got different looks to accomplish different things. You know it. We know it. We're just letting the kitty out of the bag so we all know it. You get that little pouty little look and, you know, bat them eyelashes. And this lady here, she just, now, maybe you're the kind of guy and you say, oh, I like that strong woman. She just wrestles him in and says, come on, baby. Okay. You know, he just kind of, and off he goes. Or you get that seductive little look and that come hither kind of look. And the guy turns into ice cream on a hot summer's day. That's power. Now, ladies, you know I'm telling the truth, don't you? If you're going to sit there and say, I'm so offended by that, talk to your husband when you get home. Guys, don't you leave me out to dry either. You be honest. You be honest. What did this lady do? She put on an impudent face. And then she put herself out there. The Bible says she threw herself at him. She kissed him. She propositioned him. She had everything ready for him. What she did was she flattered him with her lips. She said to him, you, baby, are the one I've been waiting for all my life. I have been waiting for you. I just knew tonight was the night. You were going to walk down this street in the dark of the night. It was going to be you. I was waiting just for you. You are number one. You know what, guys? That is an appealing thought. It really is. Let's just be honest, guys. For the woman to say, you're the one I've been waiting for all my life. That is a very seductive thought to the guy. And this fella, he melted. Look at Proverbs 7:21. I'm not letting the guy off the hook with this, and I'm not putting this on the lady. Chapter 7, verse 21, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Okay. Seriously, it doesn't say that she wrestled him to the ground and pinned him. It says she talked him into giving up. Kind of reminds me of a fellow by the name of Adam back in the garden. What did Eve do to get him to take of the fruit? All she did was offered it. That's all she did. Guys, that verse tells me that we've got to have a backbone. We've got to have a backbone. We have got to know the dangers that are out there. And we've got to stand strong. We have got to stand with that strong backbone. Young men, stand with a strong backbone that knows how to say no, regardless of the temptation that is thrown at you, stand strong with a strong backbone. This woman here, this guy, both are culpable, both are at fault. Go with me to the book of Titus chapter 2. Let me show you something that we are desperately in need of today. There are a lot of male gendered individuals in this world who are not men. And there are a lot of female gendered people in this world who are anything but a lady. Titus chapter 2, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. We are desperately in need of aged men, aged ladies, to teach the young males to be godly men, to teach the young females to be godly ladies. We desperately need that in this day and age in which we live. You see what's going on in the world, and you see what's all around you on a regular basis. We desperately need this. There's only one good thing about the cold, and it's that people found their clothing. Why is that? Why is it that in the summertime we forget where our clothes are at? It's because we don't have a sense of what it is to have godly decency, godly modesty, and godly morality. It's not being taught like it should be from the old men and the old women to the young men and to the young women. So that will bring us to the tragedy. Go back to Proverbs 7. The tragedy is found starting in verse 22. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter. What a description. Or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Go back to chapter 6, starting in verse 32. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and a dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. Look back in chapter 2 of Proverbs. Look at verses 16 through 19. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, her paths unto the dead, none that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. After some national tragedy, the Boston Marathon bomber, 9/11, families returning to Gatlinburg, families that returned to their Alabama and their southern Tennessee homes on November 30th, after the devastation of the tornadoes went through there. As the cameras pan the crowd and you see the people that are there, you see the despair on their faces. You see the tears as they run from their eyes as they look at the tragedy that has taken place. And yet we barely give a sniff to the devastation that's been caused on a national level by the immorality and the immodesty and the indecency that is allowed to be paraded in our country today. Pornographic websites are the number one web searches on Google, or any of the search engines for that matter. The number one searches It's out there. It's available. It's free. And it lets people think, oh, it'll never hook me. It'll never destroy me. It'll never affect my life. And yet that's exactly what it does. The tragedy that takes place. Now, while it may seem that I've painted a hopeless picture in all this, it isn't hopeless. There is a solution to it, and the solution is always the truth. That's why tonight, even though this may be kind of a sensitive and even a weird topic to preach on, it is truth that is needed for this day and age. I am thankful that even on a Sunday night on New Year's Day, we have got some young people that are here tonight. Young boys, young girls that are soon and are really knocking at that door of manhood and womanhood. They're there, the young ones. They need this. But you know what? The old ones need it too. Because nothing that we have talked about tonight, and it's absolutely sick. Again, I kind of like watching those shows like Cops and Cops Reloaded and Live PD and stuff like that. And the number of guys that get busted for prostitution or soliciting prostitutes that are in their 50s and their 60s, 70-year-old guys doing this. I'm thinking, you mean to tell me that we haven't learned anything yet at this stage in our life? Who's to think that we're going to learn anything the rest of our life if we haven't learned it by now? So this is something that the old and the young as well struggle with. So here's the truth. Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my commandments and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine hearts. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Two things have to be acknowledged here. The first thing is this: parents have a responsibility to bind the word to their kids. Parents have that responsibility. Just write down the reference in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, because those are the passages of Scripture, the verses that remind us of the parents' responsibility to put those biblical truths, God's commandments, God's laws on the doorposts and keep them in front of their eyes at all times and teach them in every opportunity that you possibly can have. It is the parent's responsibility to do this. No parent has ever perfectly accomplished this, okay? But parents, we have got to do the absolute best that we can. And we have to be very, very careful that we are not living some sort of a hypocritical life. We cannot tell our kids, don't watch this. And then after the kids go to bed, mommy and daddy sit down and watch it. That's hypocrisy. You can't tell your kids, don't talk like that, don't use words like that, when you use them yourself. You can't tell the kids, don't cuss or don't drink and don't smoke, when you're taking a drag off of your cigarette and knocking down a tall one. You can't do that. You have the responsibility to bind the word to the kids' hearts and to set the example with everything that you do. But there's a second responsibility, and the individual, the child, has a responsibility to bind these words to their own hearts. A parent can do their absolute dead level best, but the kid still has that nasty thing called free will. And they have decisions that they can make on their own, a decision to either accept the upbringing and the training that they have received or to reject it. And every one of us, every one of our young people that are here, you have been brought up in a Christian home. You have been taught what is right. That is no guarantee that you will make the right decision. You have to make the decision yourself because your parents can't do it for you any longer. They can't do it for you. You're going to go off to college. You're going to grow into adulthood, and you're going to make your parents turn gray. Take the gray hair away, Let it go back to a good color. And do what you've been taught. Bind the truth to your heart. And live it. Tonight's message, as I said, it's different, I know. But let's examine our life. Let's examine our hearts. We talked about this in the discipleship class this morning and what it means to be a disciple of Christ. It's a full surrender. Part of being a disciple of Christ means that we are going to fight temptation. We are going to do everything in our power to avoid temptation. Are we doing everything in our power to avoid temptation? But not only that, but you say, well, you can't avoid everything. Some stuff's just there. That's right. But remember that David said, he has made a covenant with his eyes. Why should he look upon a maiden? I think it was Job that said he wouldn't look to the left nor to the right. That means you keep your eyes straight ahead. That means you got to make a choice. You got to make a decision. And I would challenge every one of us tonight. There's a lot of decisions that we have to make in this. Things that maybe we need to fix. Things that maybe we need to say, Lord, I want to make sure I don't want to fall into these traps. These are... Proverbs devotes an entire chapter right here in chapter 7, half of chapter 6. And by the way, there's a lot of other verses in Proverbs that are devoted to this topic. I would say this is pretty important that we get this figured out. And we also realize that this is a dangerous landmine that the devil has got all over the place to trip us up. That as Christians tonight, we make some decisions. And I know tonight you're saying as maybe if you're here without Christ as Savior, even our own Christians are saying, how does this apply to a lost person? One more verse of Scripture. Revelation chapter 21. You want to say that there's nothing wrong with the things that are mentioned there in Proverbs chapter 7? Hey, just having a good time. As long as everybody's consenting adults, nothing wrong with it. As long as we don't carry disease, past disease, nothing wrong with it, all these kinds of things. Proverbs 21:8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers, what's the next word? Whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The word whoremongers is the Greek word pornos. What word do you suppose we get out of that? Pornography. And it is a word that refers to any sexual sin. The Bible says whoremongers shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Maybe you argue tonight and say, well, I don't wrestle with that, and I'm lost, but I don't wrestle with that, so I'm good. Really? Look at the second adjective that's mentioned. But the fearful and the what? Unbelieving. They're also going to have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see, lost person without Jesus Christ is your Savior. That's the end story of your life. You leave this world without Christ, and you will have your part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That is a guarantee, because you left this world without Jesus Christ. You say, oh, I believed in God. I believed in Jesus. You might have believed about Him, but you didn't believe on Him. You'd never come to that point in your life where you'd called upon the name of the Lord and confessed to Him and said, I'm a sinner that needs to be saved, and thrown yourself at the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that He died for your sins, that He was buried, and that He arose again from the grave. You'd never ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save you and to change your life so that you wouldn't display these characteristics, so that your life would not look like the life of a lost person. You never came to Christ. Well, I tried to do good. I tried to better myself. I tried to stay away from these things, and I did a pretty good job. Maybe. Maybe. But you're still an unbeliever. You're still an unbeliever. Tonight, lost person, Jesus Christ invites you to come to Him. Nobody can make you do that. It is an act of your will where you have to say, Lord, I know You're calling me. I know I'm not saved. Tonight is the night that I surrender to You, and I ask You to save my soul. Lost person, would that be the prayer of your heart tonight? Stand with me, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heavenly Father, tonight we take these truths, and now, Lord, it's time to make application. It is time, Lord, for us to get before You and to ask You for the strength that we need as Christians to live a life in every place that we would go that would reflect that we do have a changed life. And it is reflected by what other people are going to see on the outside. You're changing the inside. But Lord, that's going to affect our outside. Help us, Lord, to really think about the image that we're conveying for Christ. Tonight, Lord, we pray for that soul that's here without Jesus Christ as Savior. May this be the night, Lord, that they would give their heart and life to You and be born again. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' name.